And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, it's been a great show. I'm going to move into Dipper number three. I'm getting all three of them done today. That doesn't always happen, by the way.
Triple Dipper Day.
It's a Triple Dipper Meatloaf Monday Day.
You know, on St. Patrick's Day, it's kind of like a four-leaf clover getting a Triple Dipper Day. It's a rare.
Wow.
It's fitting there.
Wow. Okay, we just qualified for St. Patrick's Day points right there from John. All right, so I'm in number three of the Triple Dipper here in the latter portions of the first half of the third hour. How about that for a description? So how do you feel, by the way? I want to know, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. There's a lot of y'all out there that are green suiters still on active duty, I know, or guard and reserve, or for that matter, you recently retired, or maybe you've got family members. Either way, what I'm saying is you are comfortably familiar with the culture and the fabric of our U.S. military. And we have some major military installations in this listening area. And I would love to know your thoughts as to what you think about the way things are going right now. Are we trending in the right direction? Do you like the changes you're seeing? Does it give you some concern or pause? Here's an example. And this is like an everyday event right now. I got a piece from the Federalist. Dateline over the weekend. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered a complete overhaul of a Pentagon think tank that infamously, not famously, but infamously, gifted lucrative contracts to a key player in the Russia collusion hoax. Here's the bottom line. Office of Net Assessment, that's the name of the organization. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has directed the disestablishment of the Office of Net Assessment and the development of a plan to rebuild it in alignment with DOD policies and priorities. So the bottom line is this. ONA, the Office of Net Assessment, was established back in 1973, and it was supposed to be able to give like think tank-level white papers on long-term comparative assessments, they say. Things that the military would want to know, strategic thinking, globalization, all the things that we should know about, you know, future trends in warfare and yada, yada, yada. There's a place for that. I get it. At that level, you should be reading stuff like that. You should become steeped in it. But the question is this one a think tank or was it just a pork belly project? Hegseth reportedly instructed the DOD's performance improvement officer to reassign all civilian employees and to other mission-critical positions, and to also return all military personnel to their service branches for reassignment. One of the reasons why I think this is happening is there's a super contract that came out of ONA to a guy named Stefan Halper. Some of y'all know that name. Halper was one of those famous confidential human sources that the FBI used when they were targeting Trump during the Russia collusion campaigns. Things like, you know, the recorded conversations with Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. I mean, this is going back a few years, but what I'm saying is what you're seeing right now is the abuse of the systems and the rewarding of people who helped with the Russia collusion is ending, and that's good. Within the context of all this, and by the way, the military is super busy. I mean, we're back to doing blow them up stuff. And it's not like I'm looking to have missiles launched every day. But I will say this, I love the fact that the Houthis are put on notice. And yes, I know that the Biden administration blew stuff up once in a while. But how many times did we waste our stores of ammunition on our fleet by launching what I would call counter battery operations as opposed to taking out the targets before they could shoot at us? Because when you know the poo, the point of origin, when you know the poo, that's what we called it. It's called the poo. You got the poo, the point of origin of indirect fire. You go and you take out the spot. Because if you don't take out the poo, it just launches again. So this past weekend, the Trump administration put in a devastating barrage of attacks against Houthi rebels. And then turned right around and told Iran, and you better back off funding the Houthis and quit lighting them up like this because we're not going to stand for it. Immediately, the Houthis, trying to be big, said they were going to hereby disallow any U.S. ship to sail to the Suez Canal. Oh, okay. So now what we're saying is terrorist organizations are allowed to express their seizure of key transportation assets. Don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. I don't see it. Go one step further. We also lit up an ISIS leader. Took him out in northern Iraq, I believe.
By the way, I love how they just post some people may not like this, but I like that they actually post like the thermal, them actually taking him out. Like, I don't know. That just shows we did it, and we'll show you we did it. We don't care, you know. Sort of we're actually gonna do military stuff, take out bad guys, and proudly do it. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah, that has double effect. Number one, it's called bomb damage assessment. It's a confirmation of the kill, if you will. Mm-hmm. But number two, the bad guys see that.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh crap, we can't even drive down the road anymore.
Exactly. You know, and like I said, some people may not like seeing this stuff, but I just appreciate, you know, they're actually getting rid of the bad guys.
But Habib was driving by himself at night with his lights off. How did they find him? How did Habib get taken out? He was doing 70 miles an hour.
And just like how Soleimani was like a Nobel Peace Prize sort of guy too when we took him out last term, you know?
Yeah, he's a peace-loving man. All that to say, there are definite military things happening. The mission of the military is certainly being advanced. We're also looking at right now, Trump has ordered the U.S. Navy to build more ships. What? Why is that a thing? Because it wasn't happening. The Chinese Navy is far outpacing us. Is it quality versus quantity? I can't speak to that entirely. I don't believe that the Chinese Navy has near the quality that ours does. But at the same time, we were being far outpaced in terms of quantity, and there has to be a bit of a comparison, all right? You can't just get outclassed completely because you laid down on the construction. And a part of that was because of the deep regulatory and bureaucratic nonsense that was blocking the shipbuilding. Trump's freeing that up. U.S. military, U.S. Navy ought to be seeing a few more warships hitting the waters. When we come back, though, I'll tell you, there's a push right now for Congress to grab hold of some of the changes and legislate them so they can't be undone by a future administration. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes from Huntsville back all the way over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border even to Fort Benning. Yes, I called it Fort Benning. And big old patches. North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm in number three of the Triple Dipper here, the military reckoning. You know, the military is providing a reckoning on the world stage right now. By the way, that ISIS guy that we took out in Iraq the other day, he was ISIS's second in command. That was a big decapitation His name is al-Rifai, and he's considered the, quote, emir of ISIS. One of the senior decision-making members of the entire organization. He's the one who, quote, maintained responsibility for operations, logistics, and planning conducted by ISIS globally and directed a significant portion of their finances. Taking him out, big doings.
I love it when Trump's in office and we actually go at the terrorists.
It's like watching the movie Tombstone versus watching Pee Wee's Playhouse. Mm-hmm. That's where it's been.
And they all try to buck up and realize, don't want to do that.
Yeah. I suggest don't. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration is being asked by Federalist, and I got a piece here at Dateline Saturday, to consider not only taking bold action in terms of the executive orders, but to work with Congress to get some of the military changes put into the U.S. code, to have them basically codified through legislative action so that we can see these things permanently embedded and not have to deal with them being undone again. Like, for instance, one of which is, can we please codify the issues related to restoring meritocracy as opposed to idiocracy in the military? The DEI programs that we saw were not only wasteful, but they were morale killers. They guaranteed that sometimes your skin color meant promotion and sometimes it meant no promotion. That sometimes it meant hiring for DOD contracts or it embedded every aspect. It was like saying that transgenderism was okay even though you're non-deployable. the DEI madness being taken out of the military to include our service academies is something that needs to be codified. How about this? Gender identity and common sense. That's another part of the article I'm looking at here. You may recall that there was an executive order called Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth. Well, what we're looking at there is you're not going to have to worry anymore about whether or not the female barracks is going to have dudes with their junk hanging out in the showers. It's not going to happen. That's been changed. All right, but it goes one step further. The other thing that needs to happen is an embedding or legislated action that says the gender dysphoria creates an inability to serve. If you believe that you're in the wrong body and you want treatment to change it, you're not going to get that paid for on the taxpayer dime, and you're not going to join the U.S. military and say, I'm now non-deployable because of all the treatments I'm letting the taxpayers pay for. And by the way, it also clearly means that you may have psychological issues. And what many people don't realize is that while the military does have standards, that some of those standards are actual psychological assessments. You are screened. And there are some jobs where you were screened very deliberately. You're not going to go into special operations without a psychological screening. You're not going to go into, you know, some of the tier one units without having a serious psychological profile. Now, you're not going to get it for every, you know, every Joe Snuffy the ragbag job in the Army, but the truth is there's going to wind up being some measure of, how would I word this, mental stability that has to be in place. And they're saying codify it. Okay, how about this? Affirming sound priorities and not critical race theory. We had cases of troops being required to do privilege walks in their units, like standing in formation saying, everyone who is white, take one step forward. That should never happen in the military. Never. The only thing you care about is the color of the uniform and the color of the flag, and that is it. And the very idea that this was happening on unit time, I mean, if you want to do this in your off time, more power to you, just don't bring it to the barracks. But the idea that troops were being told to take privilege walks in their unit formations is just the most awful thing I think I've ever heard. And it was beyond that. It was critical race theory training. It was things like, I think it was the chief of staff of the Air Force, or was it the Navy? No, it was the Navy, who said we have too many white pilots. Oh, what you want is qualified pilots. You don't care what color their skin is. Because me as a ground pounder, when I'm on the ground and I'm calling in CAS, I need close air support, I'm not looking to see hang on a second, do I have a black pilot or a white pilot, gentlemen? Because I need to know where the round, I'm saying put rounds on target. That's what I need.
Mark Milley and his white rage.
Oh, Mark Milley and his white rage. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yes, critical race theory. Wait, where's my sound effect? Afuerte!
Afuera!
There it is. Thank you very much. Get it out of here. Codify those things. Make it real. Let me get a couple more of these. There's some talk about whether or not Doge should look at a BRAC round. Whew. Having been through a BRAC round in my area, that's a little scary. You know, Fort McClellan used to be a huge factor in Northeast Alabama. Fort McClellan is now gone, except for the National Guard Training Center that's still there. Large parts of Fort McClellan are still kind of shuttered and desolate. And it's sad. So I hate to see BRACs. But what I do know is this. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It's amazing how many military facilities that aren't being used are still being maintained for virtually no reason. And I don't mean like they've been repurposed or they're smaller in scale or they're, you know, just, you know, they've got some kind of toxic cleanup that has to happen because of weapons training and all that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sometimes it's office buildings in D.C. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, training ranges that are no longer in use anymore. There's an estimated 26 million acres of real estate holdings by the DOD alone in the United States. And those that are no longer necessary but we're still paying the power bill might need to be looked at. And then Pete Hegseth did this. today, defense.gov. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth ordered a department-wide review of existing standards set by U.S. military branches pertaining to physical fitness, body composition, and grooming, which includes but is not limited to beards. Oh, Lord, he's getting back to it. He's looking at it saying, you know what? If you're going to be a robust organization, you're going to have standards. And if you're going to have standards, standards have to be enforced. If you don't enforce them, they truly aren't standards. So his words were, we must remain vigilant in maintaining the standards that enable the men and women of our military to protect the American people and our homeland as the world's most lethal and effective fighting force. The review will now determine how the department has maintained those levels of standards over the recent past and the trajectory of any change in those standards. What he's looking at here is the whole idea that, well, if you want to have a beard, you can do that. Now, I had a beard when I was in Afghanistan, but I was on a special operations team in a remote environment with official relaxed grooming standards because we couldn't even bathe. I mean, I didn't take a shower for like 6 months. We just had to dip water into a bucket and bathe. But so there wasn't a whole lot of shaving going on. That's different. When you're in garrison, I mean, gone are the days, but some of y'all remember, I used to love breaking starch on a good set of BDUs. And even the OGs, I mean, the olive drabs, the jungle fatigues from Vietnam era, I came in on the tail end of that and I got to wear them a little bit. And you starch those bad boys, man, and you break starch for garrison, and you got your scare me badges and your patches in place and everything's creased, and you put on that beret just right and your boots are shined. There's an entire army out there that's never had to do any of that. They're wash and wear. They just pull them out of the dryer, shake them off, and put them on, and they don't always look like they care. And I'm for getting back to a little bit of a standard. And that might include shaving and haircuts and beards, right? There's a whole lot of other things going on, but I got a ton of text messages. Let me get a few of these text messages real quick because some of y'all are checking straight on in about some of the stuff.
If you want to read Nathaniel from Huntsville, he texted about the beards, actually.
Did he? Nathaniel from Huntsville? Welcome to the text line, Nathaniel, brand spanking new in the text line. He said, I recently retired after 21 years in the Army, and I think the DOD is headed in the right direction. While I think beards would be a good thing, I think that would be a tough balance, and it's not the time to implement more liberal changes. Enforcing uniformity, physical fitness, and a lethal mindset is what we need, and I'm glad this is what Secretary Hegseth is doing. Nathaniel from Huntsville. Nathaniel, first of all, welcome to the Right Side Ruffians text line. We appreciate you. And oh, by the way, thanks for your service. 21 years. That's awesome. Enjoy your retirement. And if you're like most of us, you retired to go to work. Mark from Red Bay says, why would the Chinese have quality warships? Everything they build and send over here is junk. Yeah, but they're sending it to us.
That's it. And the ships are not quality, they're quantity.
So. Yeah. Marcus from Huntsville says, you have not lived until you've taken a warm water bird bath while crouching down in a freezing cold trailer getting drips of warm water because the pump died in the mountains of Afghanistan. LOL. Brother, I am with you. And yes, that is absolutely where it was at. I mean, bathe in a bucket and crapped in a hole. That's what we did. Ate more rice and we had more soul. That's what I'm saying. Badger from Athens says, I was stationed at Reese Air Force Base when BRAC hit back in the late 90s. That was tough times, man. It was. It was tough for this part of Alabama, tough for other places too. Tommy from Muscle Shoals, Alabama says, my 22 years in the Army, we had affirmative action. We saw too many good NCOs passed over. Yep, I believe it. John C. from Madison said, I remember during the Obama administration that some units had it where they had to march in women's high heel shoes. What? I'd love to know about that. If you're saying that was like to make them feel like they were identifying with the women in the ranks, I want to know more. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel, Paul in Decatur, unleash special operations guys, snooping and pooping, snatching grabs, and more. Whether they use the active units or National Guard units, less red tape with guard units, my thoughts. Popping starch, yeah. Paul from Decatur, appreciate your service, and as always, I agree. I think absolutely. I think you ought to start seeing a little bit of this, cartel action might have to involve some of our guys who sneak and peek pretty well. A little direct action. Ron from Brownsboro says, "Good luck clearing a pro mask with a beard." I'm saying, if we're gonna say yes, so look, if you're gonna put on a pro mask because you know NBC warfare is still a thing. And you gotta be able to wear that protective mask, and it's got a seal around. Does it seal with a beard? Do you want to run that risk? Just saying. Do I have time for a couple more? Yeah, I do. David from Bucky says, Phil, as an old retired Army NCO, I always said I could never do it again during the Obama and Biden administration. However, with a new commander-in-chief, I like to think I could do it again if I was asked to. Now, just change it back to Fort Rucker. That may happen. That may happen. David at Bucky's, always appreciate your service, man. You know, I told you about that. I went looking for David at Bucky's one time.
You were unsuccessful.
No, I found him.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah, I started walking around the store. Excuse me, are you David? Excuse me. And then I was walking up. I was literally walking up to the counters, and I saw a guy standing there, and I thought, I'm going to bet. And I walked up. He had a badge on. I said, are you the David at Bucky's that listens to Right Side Radio? Yes, I am. We had a great little reunion there.
I wish if when I was still working up in Huntsville, I'd stop by there and get a brisket every now and then. I wish I would have known David from Bucky's that then. Maybe he could have got me a free brisket or something.
I imagine you'll travel back that way again sometime.
Probably.
All right, JP, take me to a break, brother. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. I got more text messages, and we'll clean up for the day. Y'all, it's Meatloaf Monday. Get yourself ready. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.